Pray, Heavenly Father. Don't always look at the Sunday school quarterly when I'm preparing for a message, but when I came this morning and saw the title, it's amazing how you work. You promised to be present with us, and that's really just a continuation of the Sunday school lesson. It's amazing how you work. I shouldn't be amazed. I should just know that that's how you work. So thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for what you're going to do in these people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let God guide you, I guess, would be a good way to give it a title. You can give it whatever kind of title you want. God guides us. He wants to guide us. It's about guidance. God loves you. When you have children, you want to help to guide them, don't you? They don't always take your advice. You wish they did. Sometimes they just think we're old-fashioned. We're just old-fashioned. Well, you'll find out how old-fashioned you are when you go to try to do it yourself, huh? Go ahead. When you think you know everything, go ahead. Help yourself. Huh? When teenagers get to the point in their life where you know that they start becoming an adult and they just think they know everything, well, go ahead and help yourself. See how it works out for you. And you'll come back and say, well, Dave was right, but I don't want to tell him. He was right. Well, I have a local friend, and I want to tell you his name because you know who he is. He's a photographer. Some time ago, I visited him. We are friends. Occasionally, I visit him. And in that particular day, he had his photography camera set up, and he was waiting to take a special shot. I'm thinking, well, just take it now. No, it's just not right yet. So we waited an hour, and then we waited another. I said, you can just take it. Just take it. You can fudge it. You can fudge it a little bit. Just take it. I was looking at it. I didn't have quite the patience he had. I didn't tell you that much. So I can't be a picture taker because I don't got enough patience. I can't go fishing because I don't got enough patience. So this photographer was waiting for the precise moment. Special moment. Just to take a picture. And anybody that takes pictures knows what I'm talking about. Some photographers wait for a whole day. If you watch National Geographic, they ship these people all over the world, and they'll stay in Africa or Kenya or wherever it is. They'll sleep in a sleeping bag. Won't get me to sleep in a sleeping bag in Kenya. But they'll do this. Can't believe how much money they probably spend to pay these guys to do this. And they'll wait for days. Weeks. Maybe months. Maybe there's a photographer that maybe only one time a year they can take a picture of the Northern Lights. I don't know. I'm just thinking about this. For that precise moment. This photographer went on a trip. He had a guide. He went for about 3-4 hours, and finally, this photographer said to the guy, he said, I think we're lost. The guy thought, no, we're okay. Now I said, I think we're lost. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a compass and said, here. He said, look. Oh, the guy did say, I guess you're right. We are. We did get off course. We're not lost, but we got off course. We did get off course. Unfortunately for the photographer, it was a ruined day. It was too late to take the picture he wanted to take. It's too late. How many times in our life has it been too late because we've made wrong choices? Huh? As I was thinking about a message today, I was thinking, well, February's coming up on us. We're still on a fresh new year here. We have no idea what lies ahead. We are entering uncharted waters. We don't know what lies ahead. What icebergs might be lurking, what problems might be ahead. We have no idea. I suppose sometimes you wondered if you were going the right way. You ever have a time in your life where you wondered that? Am I on the right direction? Am I headed in the right direction? Now, I suppose if having the right guide was important for this photography trip, how much more important would it be to have the right guide for life, for our lives? How important do you think that would be? Pretty important, don't you think? That's what I want to talk about. Our daily life. We live in a complex world. It's full of lots of obstacles. Deception? Wow. I don't remember of a time of there ever being as much deception as there is in the world today. I can tell you that much. I've never seen so much deception. There used to be a thing called news. Now it's edited news. Do you all know what edited news means? Anybody think you know what edited news means? Oh, well, I can't say that because the people will receive it the wrong way. So I just have to play with this a little bit. I got to rearrange the wording because I'm afraid that you might get the wrong thing from what I have to tell you. Whatever happened to plain news? Just plain news. Don't be fooling with it. Don't mess with it. It's just news. It's news. Deception. The one who said it well, fake news. It's sad. I don't like to be lied to. Some people do. Some people it's okay with it. It's never okay. Lying's never okay. Deceitfulness is never okay. It's never right to lie. Just a little white one, you take that up with him. See what he thinks about a white lie. All lies put him on the cross. All of them did. Whether you want to call them white, purple, blue, or red, they all put him there. Right there. So you don't need to ask what he thinks. He took it for you and me. Sometimes our own desires and our own dreams and our own plans may cause us to veer from God's course. I've had that happen lots of times. I thought I knew better. You know our devotional today, written by Dennis O from Vietnam. He was a missionary to northern India. He thought his church that had started to sponsor him would still be sponsoring him, and his church decided not to sponsor him. And he had to come home. Can you imagine? A missionary. Wouldn't a missionary always, wouldn't you think as a missionary that, you know, you, if you're there, you, that's really God's reason, God's purpose, isn't it? Even missionaries, sometimes God changes their plans. Even missionaries. You see, because God sees everything. Now, let me ask you this. If he knows that if he lets this missionary at this particular place for another 20 years or 10 years, and he gets 5 converts, but if he sends him over here, he can get 200 converts, which place do you think God would like to send him? You figure it out. Okay? God knows everything. Why do we get so upset when our plans are messed up? If God's messing with them, don't you get upset. Maybe you should let God mess with your plans more. We make plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do all that. And you know, you come back empty-handed. Shame on you. You probably didn't check with God, did you? Just made the plans all by yourself, your dreams and your plans you made up all by yourself. You didn't even consult God. Shame on you. You got just what you deserved, nothing. Next time, consult God. Maybe you'll end up getting what you wanted. Because the Bible says, if you'll put me first, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Put me first. You listen to me? Put me first. What part of that don't you understand? Put me first. Seek me first in my kingdom, and all these things shall be added on to you. How much better it can be if you learn to trust and follow Jesus. He died to save you from sin and to give you abundant life. John 10:10, not just life, but abundant life. Does anybody have me to define what abundant means? I didn't think so. How many of you here want abundant life? I do. I want abundant life. I want the best life possible because I'm only going through here one time. And I want the best I can get. And the only way that can happen is if I let him run my life. That's the only way it's going to happen. Sometimes we feel that the path ahead's uncharted, and I can tell you that it is uncharted. This new year is totally uncharted. Roger, you like to go back this past year and go through what you did? No way, no how. Would you like to know what you're faced with this year? No way, no how. I don't want to know. I just want to know. I would just know this. I don't want to go back and do what happened last year. My wife fell, still having headaches, still dizzy. I don't know what this new year holds. But I can tell you I don't want to go back and relive. I want to talk about these things. Uncharted. All of us have a calling in life, by the way. You all have different callings. I left my calling for a little bit, Elroy. And I tried to put doors on, did I tell you? I know now my calling in my life is two things. Painting and preaching. I was raised in a painter's home. I can paint circles probably around some of you. I tell people, if you stand still long enough, I'll paint you. I'll figure out a way to get paint to stick to you. Just give me a chance. Okay, I got there because we all have callings. Every one of us have callings. You all are special. God made you that way. You see, I'm going to pick on Kurt a little bit. And you know, Kurt's a mechanic. I see, Kurt can go to the toolbox one time and get what he needs. Do you know what I do if I have to work on something? I grab the whole toolbox, and I set it right here alongside of me, and then I lay alongside of it, and then I go like this. That's a 3/8. I don't know what that is. Well, I know it ain't a 3/8. You see, we all have callings. Some of you can bake. We found out in Steve's Sunday school lesson, couldn't figure out why the cookie dough got so runny. Well, what happens if you put too much powdered sugar in cookie dough? Any bakers here? Well, the lady got the wrong cup mixed up. Instead of flour, she put a cup of powdered sugar in. Whew. Wipe out. That's a wipe out. All right, I got to hurry up. I'm not going to get finished. I just got started. Callings, callings, callings. We got callings. We are uniquely made in God's image. All of us are his children. We're not the first ones to walk with the Lord. I can tell you the world has made many changes, but human condition has not changed. That has not changed. We have many faithful believers that have gone on before us. And there's a lot to learn from their experience, according to Hebrews chapter 12. verse 1 and 2. I'd like to turn that because I put Mark in there. I want to read that. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are they? Nobody knows. Great theologians can't figure out who they are. They're not sure. They haven't. There's been supposition that they must be our loved ones. What would angels be interested in seeing what we're doing? They wouldn't care, but I can tell you our loved ones would be concerned, wouldn't they? And I believe our loved ones are the cloud of witnesses. I believe that God rolls back heaven sometimes and lets our loved ones see certain things. Not everything, because in heaven, it's a beautiful place. But I can tell you that he certainly could roll back heaven and let them see some wonderful things happening here. Things that would make them happy. Because in heaven, you're happy. We don't know who the cloud of witnesses are. It could be. Can you imagine if your grandpa or grandma or mom and dad are watching you? Would they be proud of what they see? Let me put it this way. God sees everything. He sees everything. So why would you be concerned about what mom and dad might think? You need to be more concerned about what God thinks. What's God think? He sees everything. He sees my thoughts. He knows my rising, my sitting, everything about me. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've always found it to be a tremendous comfort, knowing that the Lord is always with us in our life's journey. And so he gives us the company of his saints. Right here it is. The company of his saints. It's interesting. As long as you and I are here on earth, he has promised to faithfully guide us. He takes us by the hand through every circumstance. And afterwards, he will receive us each with open arms unto glory. In Psalms 73, 23, and 24. What a blessing that is. Now I want to show you how he lovingly guides your life. This is how he guides your life. If you're willing to follow. That word, that scripture said, do we got to put a bit in your mouth? Right after that verse, he said, I promise to follow you. But do we got to put a bit in your mouth? Are you willing to follow me? The Lord says. God carefully watches over you. That's the first thing. You have searched me. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I get up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You scrutinize my path, my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. You saw me the other day when I was losing patience for that door, didn't you? Yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to smash it rather than put it on. Now. I needed this as much as they did, Lord. You're acquainted with all my ways. Yep, I can't hide any of them. You know me better than I know myself. So, that makes him more qualified than you to guide you, doesn't it? Makes him more qualified. Why? Because he understands everything about me. He knows how impatient I get. I'm sorry. Here we go again. He knows all of your weaknesses, every one of them. He's familiar with every facet of your personality. And he takes all these things into account as he directs you. Another way, the Lord always chooses the best path for you. You know, GPS comes up and they'll say, who wants tickets? Who wants to have to pay for tickets? No, I don't want any tickets. I always put down, you know how impatient I am, the fastest way. The fastest way. I want to go the fastest way, the quickest time. But the Lord knows and chooses the best path for you. When we think about that, sometimes when we look around, we doubt that the path we're on could possibly be the best one. Because God allows suffering, illness, loss, trouble, unfairness, hardship. And when we see these things, we certainly doesn't seem to be good to me. And so we begin to doubt whether we're on the right path. Huh? You with me? You begin to doubt whether you're on the right path. You're here today because God wanted you to hear this message. That's why you're here. So recorded in the biggest chapter in the book of Psalms 119, I believe it was 170 verses, in verse 71, it says this, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." Now David's talking, you know. David realized it was okay. After he was afflicted, he knew it was good for him. Paul said, none of us like it when it's happening. None of us like to be afflicted when it's happening. But we realize it's for our good. We look back and we have 20/20 vision. Isn't that something? You always got 20/20 vision, but only looking back. So God knows the best. It's good for me that I was afflicted, so that I may learn your statutes, Psalm 119:71. So even when times are hard, God's plan is still good. He hasn't failed you. You see, the Lord chooses the experiences for us that is working his eternal purpose in your life. It's his eternal purpose for you. And he's using these experiences for that. So the question isn't whether his is the right path, but whether you're willing to trust him in the midst of your dark valleys and your dangerous passages and the rough, rough terrain. Sometimes you get walk in places that isn't so nice. And you're wondering, was there a better path? Could have there been a better path? I'm always looking for an easy path. And you know, this is the path that God wanted me to go, but when I'm in the middle of it, I'm always looking for a better way out of here. Isn't that human nature, the way we are? Always looking for something better. But God's got me exactly on the path that I'm supposed to be on. And sometimes that's hard to handle. That's hard to handle. And we don't always want to stay on that path. But Lord, if I know you're here with me, that helps to make it easier because I know you're walking with me through it. As long as I have that assurance and know that you're walking through me and with me, I'm okay. I'll try to keep my mouth shut and keep my legs moving. God provides everything you'll need as you follow him. His power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. 2 Peter 1:3. The Lord gives you strength when you're weary. He gives you hope when you're discouraged. He gives you comfort in loneliness. He gives you wisdom when you lack understanding. No other guide anywhere in the world can do all this. And you'll find it on no path but his. God's grace is sufficient for every need and every situation. And lastly, he guides you with his word. God guides you with his word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Psalms 119, 105. Sometimes I believe the reason we don't sense the Lord's guidance is because we are not looking in the right place. Maybe we're looking in the wrong places. The best way to recognize his direction is through consistently reading his word. That's where you'll find his voice. That's where you'll find examples of stories of people who've gone through things before you did. And the more familiar you become with the Bible, the better you'll be able to perceive his leading. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of you in your Christian life has read the Bible through just one time. One time. If you haven't, shame on you. Shame on you. Why is it that some new Christians come into church and just get saved and they've read the Bible through 14 times already? Huh? Maybe you need to get resaved. Maybe you were baptized in pickle juice or vinegar. Hello, I'm talking to you. He's done preaching, now he's meddling. I think it's sad that people can read 45 romance novels and can't read the Bible one time. If it's a book on fishing or hunting, you could read it 16 times. How many times have you read the Bible through? Recipe books? Books on mechanicking? I'm going to try to hit all of you. You haven't read the Bible through once? What's next month? February. How many months in a year? 12. I want you to commit to reading the Bible. You're only 1 month behind. You can get caught after. Commit that you're going to read the Bible through this year. You commit to everything else. Commit to reading the Bible at least one time. Like I said, we're interested in everything else, but what we should be interested in. The Lord's willing, he's able to guide you. And he knows the best path. His directions are easy to follow in his word. But a stubborn spirit only makes the journey harder. A stubborn spirit only makes the journey harder. So here's the key to following the Lord. You need to develop a humble and teachable spirit, willing to submit to him at every stage of the journey. Because remember, he alone knows the trail. And he will never, never, ever lead you astray. So the new year offers you a fresh opportunity. You need to resolve to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And you'll be able to discover the greatness of your amazing Lord and Savior. And you'll discover all the wonderful gifts that he wants to give you if you're willing to follow. Don't be as the mule or the horse that we got to put a bid in. Be willing. Here I am, Lord, use me. I'll try my best. I'll give it my best shot. Here I am. New year, Lord. I give you my life to use in any way that you see fit. Okay, you and this praise group can come. We'll take prayer requests as they're coming.